We have T. Suzanne Eller in studio with us, and it's okay if I call you Susie?
Absolutely.
Hey, you've been a busy woman.
I have been.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. You were in Florida speaking to a group of teens recently?
I was. I went to Port Charlotte and got to hang out by the Gulf of Mexico and hang out with some of my favorite people, which is teenagers.
Well, tough duty.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Now, speaking of teenagers, this new book, that's pretty interesting. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this book, the title?
About a year ago, I was on a mission trip in Brazil and came home and found out that I was going to get to write a book for teenagers. And this is really my heartbeat, is to be able to minister to teens. And what this book is about is it's stories of teenagers who have lost hope, whether it's because of their own decisions or whether it's because of their family, but it's about their faith and how God turned things around for them. And
is it true stories?
It is true stories. Mm-hmm. I interviewed 1,000 teenagers and was only able to choose 39 stories.
Now, what's the name of the book?
Real Teens, Real Stories, Real Life.
And basically, it's being published by?
It's being published by River Oak Publishers, which is a division of Honor Books.
Now, you're having a book signing here in Muskogee, your old hometown, Saturday, right?
I am. I'm going to be at the mall at Rice's Bookstore at 1 o'clock, and I'm really hoping I don't sit there by myself. So I'd love to see some of you come out.
And you'll be glad to sign the book.
I would love to sign the book.
Well, you know, 39 stories, that's actually quite a few.
Well, there's 39 stories, but it also has poetry and rap and lyrics. We did some what's called real quotes, which teenagers have a lot to say. And so we put in some quotes from teens that will just really impact other teens.
Well, I should have asked you to bring some tonight. interestingly enough, though, they are in the book, right?
Yes, they are.
What are some of the subjects? When you say teenagers lost hope, I immediately think of drugs.
Whenever I first pitched this book to my agent, I didn't think that a publisher would pick up on it, because we talk about tough issues, all the way from abuse to addiction to what's called cutting to suicide, to depression, but it's in the light of faith and what happened in their life. And I didn't think that the publishers would let us do this, but when they did, I was just overwhelmed.
Now, how did you come across that many stories? You said you had over 1,000.
I did. I interviewed for over 3 months. I interviewed teenagers from all over the nation, and I did that on the phone. I did that on the internet. I write for different magazines that are for teens, so I got the word out through that.
Well, now, did their stories and their problems and their tribulations, did it match up to what you thought it would be before you started this project?
Right, and that's why I wanted to do the project. I've worked with teenagers for 15 years, and I didn't find any book that dealt with this, not in the Christian market. And I wanted to be able to put a book in a teenager's hand that from teenagers who had been there and found a way out.
Well, what is the, if there is a cross thread of these 39 stories, I guess it is the faith itself that leads them back out of the wilderness, so to speak. Are there anything and to really jump out at you that maybe you could tell me or our listeners right now about perhaps somebody that really was downhill? I mean, somebody, suicide, you know, seems to be a pretty high rate with
right.
Teenagers, really.
Well, the story of the young man, his name is Darren, and he's actually a Muskogee. He doesn't live in Muskogee anymore, but there were 4 stories in here of teenagers that have lived in my home for a period of time, and Darren was one of those.
So you actually have been taking in foster teenagers?
No, not foster, just taking them in.
Just taking them
just
in,
just taking them in. Darren lived with us for almost 2
years.
Well,
now you already have a family.
I do.
How did your family react to this?
They loved him.
Okay.
But what we did, Darren came to us from Muskogee Regional. He had tried to take his life, and his choice was to go to a mental health facility or to come to a family, and we asked him to come live with us.
And he accepted.
Yeah.
I would think taking people into your home like that, especially troubled youth, of course, it had its reward, but there's also probably some problems and dangers.
Well, Darren was a challenge, and he helped. I think I got my first gray hair from Darren, but he is.
I don't see any gray hair.
he is. He's doing so well. He lives in Ohio now. He's a college pastor, and his story is truly an amazing story of how God could take someone who had given up and just give him hope.
Now, when you started writing this book, Muskogee is a fairly small town and fairly provincial. Did you get a cross-section of youth that in different circumstances, or are
yes.
they basically...
Well, the teenagers that I interviewed were everywhere from New York to San Francisco to, I mean, everywhere. Of the 39 teenagers, I don't think that, except for Oklahoma, because there were four in there, but the rest of them are from every different state.
Various places.
Mm-hmm.
I found over the years, and you're not nearly old enough to know this yet, Susie, but regardless of the setting, whether it's an urban setting or a country setting or whatever, people seem to have the same kind of problems. Maybe a little different influence, but it's still the same problems.
Right, right. And one of the things that, you know, there came a point in this book to where I remember the day I was reading a story of one of the young men by named Chad Lawson, and I just put my head on my desk and I bawled. And I thought, you know, God, there are some kids out there that are hurting so bad. And so many of them, it wasn't anything that they did. Some of the kids in this book, it was because their parents' lifestyle or because of the decisions their parents made. And yet, Chad's story, you know, was so exciting because there came a point in time where nobody believed in him anymore, but he reached out and his life was changed.
We're talking with T. Suzanne Eller, and she'll be at Rice's Bookstore on Saturday signing this book. I want you to be there a couple hours?
I think it'll be about an hour.
About an hour. Mm-hmm. From what time?
1 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
Okay, and that, of course, is in the mall.
It is.
Now, when we and you've been doing interviews around the country for this
year. I have. I did two interviews today in my home office, and I've done an interview almost every day.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So now you're getting out there and promoting your books, and you get to see the other side.
I do, and I do love radio. I've realized that radio is a lot of fun.
Well, good. Well, that's the reason we have you on the radio tonight.
That's right.
And I. You know, you've been nice enough to write a few columns for us over there on our X-Fire section of our website.
I'm not
all
very
along.
Faithful.
Well, I haven't been as faithful as I should have been to it every. People sometimes don't realize how much time and effort takes to even write a 1,000-word piece.
Sure,
it takes some time. But the back to this book and about teenagers, you alluded to something that I've always. Thought was kind of a common thread. Teenagers are thrown into situations where it's not necessarily their doing.
Right.
It's their parents, their environment,
right.
Where they are. And some deal with it okay, others don't.
Well, one of the girls in the book, her name was Nicole Johnson, and her parents took their things to a storage center and locked the storage things in the storage center and drove off and left her with the things and never came back. She was 11 years old.
And she was left in the storage
center? She was left at the storage center.
Literally, she had to live there?
Literally, what she did is she went to school, and she would, for a period of about 3 weeks, she was able to get by with this. She would go to a friend's house and stay the night and then go back to the storage center.
And get her clothes.
And get her clothing. And finally, one of the mothers realized that something was wrong.
Wow. Has she seen her parents since then?
No, she hasn't. But in today, she's only 19 years old. I talked with her today, but she has just recently married, and she is planning on being a foster parent.
Now, you had a pretty normal childhood, I think.
No,
you didn't.
I didn't.
And okay.
My story's in the book as well.
Oh, is it?
It's the end story, I had to go get permission from my family to be able to write this because I never wanted to hurt them. And I dedicated the book to my mom because of this. But I was conceived by rape and was raised in a home that was very, very chaotic. And in fact, my mother was very suicidal. And so there were adults that reached out to me when I was 15, 16 years old. And that's why I still work with teens today.
Well, I mean, you really overcome a lot of things then. I never realized
right.
that.
Right. That was painful, and I would never want that to be for anybody else. But at the same time, it's allowed me to sit with teenagers.
Yeah, because you now have something to say with them and talk to them about. You have something in common. I imagine that's one of the major problems dealing with teenagers is many of them have the attitude they already know it all, or at least they use that as a defensive mechanism.
I don't know, Jerry. What I see with teenagers, and I guess this is because I'm with them all the time, is that they're very honest. They don't believe in hypocrisy. They don't wear masks. I think sometimes that intimidates adults a little bit. But teenagers are, to me, most of the teenagers I've met, even the troubled ones, there's greatness in them.
Now, what about this new book? Is it for parents?
This is the book that I just signed the contract this week on. It's going to be for parents of teens, and it's called Please Listen to Me.
Now, the reason I asked and brought up the new book right now is the fact that I would think that you might have difficulty getting teenagers to read. Maybe not.
No, teenagers, teenagers like
I mean, I'm
to
just thinking people in troubled atmosphere, but maybe you're right. Maybe that's their escape.
Right. Well, and one of the things, like with this book, is that there's no preaching in it whatsoever, because I don't know about you, but I tend to turn that off, and I love God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if what I did is just wrote stories and just honest accounts, and what it did is people can read it and come away and through the stories discover who God is and what he can do.
What is a major, out of the 39 stories, is there a major theme or a major group of people that had certain kinds of problems?
Well, no, it's just every story's different. And
like every life is different.
Every life is different. And the overriding theme that came out of this is that never, ever give up on a teenager. Because there might be a parent listening right now that, you know, it's tough to be a parent and have a teen out there and their life is being destroyed, or they're destroying others' lives. But what I read through this and after interviewing these teens is that never give up on them, because even when some of these teens were in the worst place of their life and the parents couldn't see that anything was happening, there was still a hunger to be different, a hunger to be in a different place than they were in.
I imagine, out of reading all of those stories, including the ones you didn't put in this book, that and then you have people, you've been involved with teenagers, you say, for
long
living
time
in your home. I imagine that there had to be some surprises, though, even with you.
I think I'm unshockable.
You,
if you met my family, you would understand why.
Well, I met your husband. He seemed like
No, not my immediate family.
Okay, okay.
My family has really struggled, and we've had I can't even describe it, but I'm pretty unshockable.
So maybe that's a secret to success, really. You're it's an old line, but you're tested with the metal and you survive.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Because I just figured you were the typical suburban
no.
product of a family that
not at all.
Excuse me.
But that's okay. And I tell you what I determined, Jerry. I determined that I would have a family that would have normalcy.
I can understand that, and I would think, and I don't know if any studies have been done about this or not, but I would think that teenagers from troubled lives, from, like you say, suicidal tendencies, drugs, whatever the addiction is, whatever the problem is, I would think once they beat that or rise above that, they probably end up having pretty good lives and pretty good citizens.
They usually are people that are making a difference because they've learned some really tough lessons.
So there's something to tough love, at least tough experience.
It's not something you really want to go through, but you know that's the cool thing, is that no matter how bad it is, still yet good can come out of it.
You know, I'm surprised at the amount of teenagers that call me or write me emails that. Because you look at my program, you look at my website. I'm demographically obviously appealing to older adults,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of young people that listen and come across our work here. What would you say to somebody that might be listening right now that has a problem? How do they get out of that problem? I mean, if they're probably, I know this people, I know you get down. I've been lucky enough never to feel that way, I don't think. Maybe I've conveniently forgotten it. But, you know, where there's just no hope, no way out. But there always is.
There always is. And one thing that I would first tell them is that, you know, that there is something really great inside of them, that every person has destiny on them. From the moment that they're conceived, they're marked for greatness. And so to first understand that, and that's tough. Like in my case, you know, growing up, I remember running away from home one time, and I was running down the street. It was raining. I had just been abused. And I realized after I'd run for almost a mile that I had to turn around and go home. And I sat on my curb, and I began to just bawl. And I thought, I have no choice. I'm 13 years old. I have to go back in. Well, there came a point in time to where I got pretty mad at God over that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people begin to tell me that he loved me, I didn't believe that because he certainly didn't live at my house. And so the day that I realized that I was valuable to someone, and that was to God, that was a real turnaround for me, because I realized for the first time that whether I was conceived of rape or not, that my Heavenly Father thought I was amazing. And so that was just a real time. And that's what I would tell a teenager, is that you're marked for greatness. No matter what you've went through, no matter where you're at, you don't have to stay there. T.S. Eliot says, it's never too late to be what you're meant to be. And I believe in that.
Now, the name of the book, once again, is?
Real Teens, Real Stories, Real Life.
Is it a paperback or hardback?
It's a paperback, and it just came out this last week. I had somebody call me today, said that they found it at Reser's. So I know that it's in the bookstores. It's showing up in different places I never expected, but it's...
And I know we have a link to it over on our website through Amazon.com.
Right. Now, Amazon.com, for some reason, has not had it come in. BarnesandNoble.com has it in. Amazon has it on their site, but they haven't received their stock yet, but every other distributor online has.
Well, we maybe better put Barnes & Noble up. Anyway, they can contact us, and we'll make sure they get a copy of that
book. Absolutely, and they can go to my website, which is daretobelieve.org, and I have different links on there if they want to go and find it.
And we have a link to that, so they can find that on the
website.
Sure,
and they can find a lot more interesting stuff on your website anyway.
Oh, I don't know. I found out some very interesting things about you today.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Susie Eller, for being with us.
It's a pleasure.